Minutes after nine on April 14th, 2007, I should say, June Callwood, journalist, author, and activist, known as Canada's Conscience, lost her battle with cancer and died peacefully in the care of her family and close friends after a courageous and well-spent life. She was 82. Growing into one of the most exceptional and respected voices in Canada, Callwood was a proud career journalist and writer and achieved acclaim and a loyal following for her nearly 2,000 articles and columns for newspapers and magazines, including Maclean's and Chatelaine. Not content to simply write about the injustices she came across as a journalist, she felt compelled to help, and her activism spanned a myriad of causes, from poverty and illness to freedom of expression, to women and children in crisis. She inspired thousands of people with her compassion, and her work in the mid-80s to establish Casey House, now a world-renowned facility, as a place of care and compassion to meet the needs of people affected by HIV/AIDS has left a legacy of dignity that has touched countless numbers of others. Singer-songwriter and regular Take 5 contributor Lynn Harrison joins me in studio today. We're going to pay a little tribute to June Callwood. Lynn, of course, wrote a song about the woman dubbed by the media as Canada's Mother Teresa and Saint June. Mm-hmm. We're going to take a few moments also to talk about some of the tangible and intangible legacies that we will all leave behind. Good morning, Lynn.
Good morning, Dave.
So June was they called her Saint June, Canada's Mother Teresa, Canada's Conscience. What was your experience with June Callwood?
Mm-hmm. I met June twice in my life, and she had a profound influence on me both times. The first one, I was in university, and I had won a small scholarship, which she was the administrator for. So I got a check, you know, for $100 or something. But the additional kind of prize was that I got to sit down with her for an hour. So I was about 19 years old, I guess, at the time. And I had a vague idea that I wanted to be a writer, because I really did like to express myself through my writing. At the time, my songwriting wasn't my primary creative mm-hmm. expression at the time, or it actually was, but it was quite closeted back then, so I wasn't really talking about that. But I did know that I wanted to be a writer. And she sat down and she basically told me or suggested very gently that if I wanted to be a writer, I should want to be a writer for a larger social purpose. That is, I shouldn't just want to be a writer because I wanted to express myself. I should want to be a writer because I wanted to make the world a better place. And that struck me as a young person. I suddenly realized I was a bit caught up short. I realized, oh my goodness, you know, here's this wise woman who is very graciously giving me some guidance which I can use in my life. And so for the next 25 years or so, it was interesting to me how my writing life did gradually come around to a social purpose through my songwriting. Mm-hmm. And then a few years before she died, I actually sang at the dedication for her street, June Callwood Way, which right. is in my neighborhood at Queen and Broadview. And I sang a song called First Day of School in tribute to her work with children. And then I met her later, and my children were there. And I'll never forget, here I was excited again to meet, you know, June Callwood, and she really wanted to speak to my children. So that caught me up short another time.
Did she remember you from all those years before?
Yeah, I think she did. I put it in context for her, and she said that she did. I mean, she met hundreds, yeah. if not thousands of people, but a very gracious, strong woman, yes.
I just want to reference a quote from June. Fit your dream to what should exist and should be possible.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, isn't that perfect? You know, to me, she was someone who exemplified the using of one's skills, and yes, the tailoring of one's dream to what needs to be done. You know, you look around in your community and you say, what needs to be done? What calls for my skills right now? And, you know, gosh, there's so much to be done. And she did it. You know, she saw that stuff to be done. And rather than being overwhelmed, you know, she pulled up, you know, she rolled up her sleeves and she started something like 50 community organizations. Yep. I mean, it's astonishing, mm-hmm. really.
And I mean, this is a woman who had some street credibility as well. She did not come from a very charmed existence. often you'll hear people who get involved in these causes and who get involved in activism. And they're in a slightly different place economically or socially, and that doesn't diminish what they do. But I think that was a big part of it, was that there wasn't a child or a young mother or someone who was suffering in whatever way that might be, that she couldn't relate to and that couldn't relate to her in some way.
Right.
There wasn't that disconnect, because I think that's often there when mm-hmm. someone will tour a facility that they're, you know, maybe they're a celebrity or they're
right.
And it's a great thing that they do, but there is that disconnect. She the work she's done with Casey House, of course, has been one of the things that stands out to me as well. Mm-hmm. At a time when there really was no mm-hmm. hospice mm-hmm. for her. And now we're world renowned. It's a 13-bed facility. It's known all over the world, and in perpetuity. There's the Jane Callwood Legacy Fund, which we've linked to our website as well. I want to talk a little bit more about this, and I just want to talk about that concept of legacy.
Right.
First, though, we're just going to throw it down to the ITS lab for another quick look at traffic.
Thanks, Dave. 401 westbound, moving slowly from Morningside to Warden, and again from the DVP to the Allen, continuing from Highway 400 to Islington in the Collectors. Going eastbound, expect delays from Islington all the way to the DVP.
QEW eastbound, things are now backed up from Erin Mills Parkway right on through to Gardiner, where traffic is very slow from Royal York to beyond Dufferin. Westbound Gardiner is slow going from York to Spadina. Southbound DVP remains congested from the 401 down to Millwood, while going north on the DVP, things are still slow from Eglinton to York Mills. From the ITS Lab with Joseph Jacobson and Paul Medeiros, I'm Adam Chung.
Welcome back to Take 5 on CIUT 89.5 FM, 17 minutes after 9. My name is David Peterson, and I'm joined in studio today by Lynn Harrison, one of our arts correspondents and singer-songwriter. And, Lynn and I sometimes get together just to talk philosophy and life and aging and what it all means. And one of the things that we're talking about today, of course, is June Callwood, the 2-year anniversary of her death just passed on April the 14th. We're talking about her life and the legacies that she leaves. I mean, we were talking about Casey House, but she's also, she started Nellie's, mm-hmm. one of the first shelters in Canada for women in crisis. She started
Jesse's
Center for Teenagers.
Women, teenage mothers. Yeah.
Legacy is one of those questions that I occasionally ponder and I think more so as you get a little bit older, you start to think of, you know, how is this going to impact when I'm not here? How does it impact other people right now? What is it that the work that I do or the act that I do, is that something that leaves a legacy for somebody mm-hmm. else? So we were talking about this during the week, and I thought we could touch on it here as well.
Yeah, it's funny. It came up this week. I was talking to another singer-songwriter, and, out of the blue, he actually said, you know, my songs are going to be the only thing I leave behind, or the songs are the only thing we're going to leave behind after we're gone. It really kind of struck me, because I've had that conversation with other people before, and if I've suggested that idea that, you know, I kind of would like my songs to live on later, sometimes it seems like a little bit of an ego trip, you know, so I was interested that this fellow was saying that and believing it. Meanwhile, another artist I know, when asked the same question, said that he wanted to take his songs with him, that he took a Zen approach, that nothing lasts, nothing is permanent. And so this notion that we can kind of cheat death is maybe a false one altogether. And I believe he is a Buddhist, or would call himself a Buddhist. So as far as I keep thinking about it too, and I really like the idea of linking the art to social action and to simple acts of kindness. I mean, to me, you write partly as a way of guiding yourself or teaching yourself, you know, and then if you can follow through by living a better life, then maybe your legacy is in those little intangibles, kind of the It's a Wonderful Life, how did you affect life on this planet?
Mm-hmm. I think there's a move, or at least I'm getting a sense, that it's the early days of people are looking to become more active and getting involved in activism.
That's right.
And I think at least part of their motivation for that is, you know, the legacy that they want to leave for the next generation in terms of, you know, climate change and the environmental crisis. But also just, you know, the way that we interact with one another and the way that communities are involved, that there's been this huge disconnect within communities. And that's why, you know, as I was thinking about June, and we had talked about June a couple of weeks ago, and this woman embodied so much, so many of those different tenets of community and mm-hmm. activism and leaving a legacy and treating people the way you want to be treated.
Well, that's right. And when asked what her religion was, you know, she would say, "My religion is kindness." And that's actually what the Dalai Lama says as well. So when it comes right down to the very basic part of things, it's treating people kindly, living your life that way, taking responsibility for what you see, not standing back when you see injustice, but instead stepping up and doing what needs to be done. You know, though, when I look at someone like that, and I, one of the challenges I find is I look at a person like June Callwood or any leader, any teacher that we see, and I think, oh, well, forget it. I can't start 50 community organizations. So who am I? You know, I start to get a little down on myself. But I think instead, maybe the key is to say, well, you know, how can we live the best life we can? You know, right. Individually, even if that's not going to be kind of a big famous thing, it's we can still make a difference.
Exactly, and I'll reiterate that quote from June Callwood: "Fit your dream to what should exist and should be possible, and bring it down to the level that you are possibly able to accomplish it." Instead of it doesn't always have to be the grandiose. It can
That's
be
right.
the smallest things that make the biggest difference.
And you don't. The thing is, you don't know what the effect is going to have. You know, when you start an action, when you take an action, or when you talk to people and influence others, you really don't know. You don't. That's going to go out into the world. It's going to shape the world in the way that it does. And I think there's a beautiful mystery in all of that. And if we can kind of trust that mystery and mm-hmm. do our part for it. So.
You wrote a song for June and about June.
Oh, I was so grateful, actually, that I was doing the Song of the Week for Take 5 at the time, because I really, because she had had such an influence on my life, I really would have wanted to write a song anyway, and so this gave me the opportunity to do so. And I love singing it at this time of year, and I would also say that it's a song that that's very popular with audiences. It does speak to people. I know of at least one other artist who's starting to sing it herself. So if I can support June Callwood's legacy in a small way with the song, that's what I'm trying to do.
Folks, Lynn Harrison with June.
A Little More Like June.
I feel a kind of breeze, a sweetly warming sun. It's like a hand that reaches out to everyone on this April afternoon that feels a little more like June. The sun extends a smile that lights the city skies. It shines on us a while, and soon we realize so much is now in bloom. It looks a little more like June. A little more awake, a little more alive, more willing to create more room. Till everyone's embraced, and this old world survives to see a day a little more like June. We'll drive away the chill that lingers in the air. Compassion and goodwill burn brighter than despair. Oh, the time is opportune to be a little more like June. If I raise my voice, I dare to make it strong. If you and I can join to right another wrong, then this humble little tune might sound a little more like June. A little more awake, a little more alive, more willing to create more room. Till everyone's embraced, and this old world survives to see a day a little more like what we've all been waiting for. To see a day a little more like June.
Lynn Harrison. Thank you, Lynn.
Oh, thanks, Dave.
You're listening to Take 5 on CIUT 89.5 FM.